This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
You live in us. It is so holy. It is so holy. We cannot imagine, Lord, how holy it's supposed to be. It's so holy, and still you decided, God, Father, to give your Holy Spirit to us, to live in us, to guide us, to show us, to make us strong, to lead us wherever we go and wherever you want us to go. We thank you so much, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you so much, Father, for being our Father. And we are all your siblings. We are all your children. And what a joy, Lord. What a joy that we have a Father like you. Jesus, you are remarkable. You are the best. You are so awesome. What you've gone through for us, it's unimaginable. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel it's the second time it happens to me. I don't know why God chose me, but I really feel God is saying, I'm not going to preach the sermon that he gave me this week. So it's going to look different. So it's a challenge for me, and but we'll see where God leads us. There's a slide, I hope you can follow me, Urbanus, that says covenant and contract. And if you find it, yes, it's about cleansing the bride. It's the second time I'm preaching on cleansing the bride, and we are his bride, and how we have to clean ourselves, and how do we do this. But yeah, it's also... what is the difference between a contract and a covenant? A contract is a legal agreement. Yeah, and often you can go back to court to get that settled if there's a breach, or if someone, say for instance, you have a contract to pay your rent and then you stop because you're not in the mood to, or you cannot, then the person who needs to receive your rent can go to court and challenge you and say, but this is the agreement we had. And then you will be liable to pay it. But a covenant is something special. It's really special. And as I'm speaking, God reminds me of that when me and Darkan got married 36 years back, something like that. And it's in 1983, I think. 35, okay, good. So... I didn't understand this really, and at that stage no one clarified it to me, and I was also not clever enough to understand it yet. But that I thought it's a contract, but a commitment that I make to Darkan, that I will stay with him in good and bad times. And I thought Darkan committed to the same. And I think he did, but yeah. And before we came here, God said to me, you must renew your vows. And I thought, but why? I do not understand. But we did, with three adult children as witness. It was so different. And then God gave me a word. He said, your marriage will be harder than a diamond. Nothing will come against it or in between it. And it was so special. I didn't know the challenges that lied in front of us. So I just said, yes, Lord, that's awesome. Thank you. Not knowing, of course, you don't know what's the future. But your coming here was a big challenge, not so much on our marriage, but in a sense of a commitment to one another. And I want to speak about the covenant just a little. To say, actually, when you get married, it's a covenant which you make with God to take this husband or to take this wife as your wife, and you will stay with her in good and bad times, or him with good and bad times. So it's actually you make a covenant with God. So that's, wow, far much more serious than what I thought. And I think that's why God wanted us to renew our vows. And by then, I think all our children were spirit-filled and could understand it. So the one was in Skype and the other two sat with us. And it was really a special moment. I thought, it's not so special, but it was super special because it's a covenant with God. And it's a promise we could make in front of our children, not the whole church, that we are committed to God in this promise. And this is a covenant, is a life agreement between two parties. And when God makes a covenant, the terms are based on His promises and standards and regulations. And the benefits of such a covenant are dependent upon people's obedience, trust, and faithfulness to God. And it was a beautiful sermon, which I had to bring today, but unfortunately we will see that another day, I think. But it is about a covenant. Have you made a covenant with God to follow Him? And I feel this is time that we can share with one another, and perhaps there's time just now to bring testimonies of how you chose for God and what was the fruit. And yes, we are still all on our way coming to God, following His will, doing His will. It's not as if it's a one-day thing and now taram, everything is done. It's our lives on earth. And I feel God is saying to me, I must start by sharing how it happened with me. So while I'm speaking and something stirs up in you, know this is what the Holy Spirit does. He wants you to also come and share that a little of that. So thank you, Lord. How did it start that I want to live in His will? Well, I had a yearning at a stage in my life. I was nearly 40. I think I was already 40, and I thought, well, I want to live in God's will, whatever is His will. I had no clue what was His will. I grew up religious, and I did what was good in the eyes of people. So it kept me away of a lot of nonsense, which I'm thankful to God. But my motive was not really, I think, to honor God. Yes, I would say that, but it was more that this is a good way of living. And it had some fruit because you don't get in too much trouble when you do that. But then there was suddenly a yearning in me that says, I want to live in God's will. And I thought, but what is His will? I didn't read the Bible often. I couldn't understand the Bible. I tried many times. I remember, God reminds me now that my dad once bought me a Bible, and I think I'm the only one of six children that ever received a Bible from my dad. And actually, as I think back, it was so special. And I tried to read in it, but it didn't make sense to me. So I thought, perhaps if I'm older or more mature, I will understand the Bible. Now I know it is because I was not totally committed to Him. Yes, I tried, but I was not spirit-filled. I was not baptized. The veils were still over me. I was baptized as an infant, and I didn't know that brings a veil. I thought it was cool and the right thing to do. So then I got this yearning. I was still not baptized or whatever. And I started to try to read the Bible, try to find out, what is His will? What is the steps I need to follow? I like 1, 2, 3. I'm systematic. So I like, step 1, step 2, step 3. Then we can move forward. I don't like chaos so much. I am a little creative, but not much, because I'm so ordered, actually. I grew different when I was older. And then I went to a course, and some of you know this part, I went to a course which my brother invited me to, of the spiritual roots of diseases, and I had no clue what it's about. I just thought it's a good time to meet new friends. We moved just 1,500 kilometers away from our home. So I thought, I don't know anyone here, so perhaps I'll meet cool people there. But what happened there is this pastor who gave this 3-day 99 teachings he irritated me so much. And I repented later of it, because then a voice said to me, with that attitude of yours, you will receive nothing. So I want to say perhaps to someone here, if you have that attitude of, ach, whatever, who is she or who is he, and he cannot teach me anything, you know, you struggle with the unteachable spirit. We can receive from anyone. If God speaks to anyone, and it can speak through anyone to you, and if you don't have a heart to receive, your heart is hardened, or you're just too prideful, or you have just rebellion, or you just have an attitude as what I had. So I repented of the attitude, and I said, okay, I'll accept everything. Long story short, I had gluten allergy since I know. I was formally diagnosed when I was a teenager. And after this course, they taught me stuff like fear is not from God. I didn't understand that, but I studied the Bible then. And I saw, oh, this is perhaps true. God says, I did not give you fear. So, okay, hello, who gives me fear? And I repented of that. And also that I had to repent of that my identity, or who I thought I was, or my feeling good or bad about myself, dependent on people. So if Darkan liked me, or my mother, or my family, or you guys, then I would feel good about myself. But the other way around as well. And then God said, yes, but your fear is towards people, because you're scared people will not accept you. And I knew that was true. And then I said, yes, but Lord, then you must speak to those people. And then he said, but okay, who is then your God? And I realized my thinking is wrong. God is my identity. God created me with my gifts. He created each one of you in such a special way. In such, he wove you in the womb of your mother. He chose you to be born and to live on a day like today. He puts in all your traits and your gifts and what you're good in and what you're not so good in. And all of us have better and not so good traits now, or gifts. And that's why we need one another. And so I repented. And it took me nearly 2 years to get my mind changed. To renew your mind, that's what God says. Renew your mind. Because I had the wrong thinking. And I still had to pray often. I couldn't even talk before 5 people. Yes, I am informal, so I like a small little groupie, and then it's super cool. But to stand in front of people, even if it's 5, I was intimidated, I shivered, and the students could do it, and I also had to bring teachings, and I couldn't. I was just the whole time. But God healed me of that, because it's not my identity. It's not who I am. I am of him. So then after that, I felt, okay, I want to live more in his will, because he healed me. This is super cool. And I learned, I gave Sunday school, and I taught the teenagers. Our children were around about teenagers then. I taught them that the infant baptism is the only true baptism. And then I wanted to find scripture for that, because I want to make sure that I teach the right things. And I couldn't find scripture. And I couldn't. And I couldn't. And I prayed, because I couldn't hear his voice yet, so much, little. And I searched, and I couldn't get my head around it, that how is it possible that such a big church, over so many centuries, of people who studied 7 years to be a pastor, how could they miss it, Lord? I must be wrong. I must be wrong. I always had I don't know if it's a default, but when something is not going well, I check myself. Where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? So this thinking didn't line up with the church thinking. So then it must be me. Then I must be wrong. So I'm a slow learner. So it took me also 2 years to get around that. And then I was baptized. We were baptized together in a super cold sea. It was very cold. And full of those slippery kelp. I don't know who you know. Do you know? It's those slippery plants in the sea. But it was a beautiful day. And they prophesied over us. And it was so awesome. And we were filled with the Holy Spirit. And prayed over us and we were filled with the Holy Spirit later on. And I could understand the Bible. I could listen to God's word. I started to hear his voice. And it was so much easier to follow him. But it was more challenging. I know it contradicts. Easier but challenging. Easier to hear him, more challenging of what he shared with me. So it's not an easy life with God. Yes, he is my security. He is my leader. He is my guide. He gave me Psalm 23 at the stage, that his rod and his staff will guide me. And the rod is the one that makes the sounds. They tap it on the rocks so that the sheep doesn't even lift their heads. They just follow the sound. So I need to hear God's voice just like that. Just go blindly after his voice. And the that thingy with this half circle or the circle on it, the staff, it helps you out of the danger. When a sheep goes into a ditch, he takes that staff and he puts it around the four paws and he pulls it out. It's like a cat. If you pull a cat on his neck, the four paws goes up, I think. No. And then the hind ones go under. And so then the sheep is out of the ditch, and the serious thing of this is then he will give the sheep a poke on the bum and say, "Now you move." Because otherwise the sheep will go back into the ditch. And as soon as the sheep is in the ditch, his fellow sheep also wants to go in the ditch. You know? So you really need to get out there. And so I had sometimes to have that. It was super challenging. There's lots of more testimonies. How God challenged me to be freed from intimidation and domination and manipulation. It was hectic. It was really super difficult for me. But God leads us and God helps us. And he gives you a poke sometimes. And I often, when God shared with me stuff, I didn't want to do it because it didn't make sense to me. So then I will argue 2 weeks with God. But you know, if you know God, how I know him now, he doesn't change his story. You are just challenged more and more. And then at the end you do it, and then there is fruit. And that was the same way how we landed up here. God told us that we must start an English-speaking church in Utrecht, not knowing one person in Utrecht. And it was enormous challenging. It was really when God said to me, "I will just go with 2 suitcases, I was not happy. And we were married many years, so we had a nice washing machine and a good dishwasher and an awesome table. And I liked my bed. And yeah, there was some nice stuff that I would like to bring back, yeah, or bring, yeah. And then God said no. And I was not happy, of course, again 2 weeks. But then he gave me scripture and was confirmed that I will just go with some clothes. And we did. And God stripped me of so many things. So it's not an easy lifestyle. We received 90% of our furniture. We received without paying anything. Now, I could never have imagined that. And is it beautiful? I started to love other people's beauty. Now, someone else, it was secondhand furniture. Someone else loved it. So I was also not so much more concerned of I must put my stamp or my identity on my place of living. I'm a daughter of God, whoever, whatever. If he gives me this table, he likes this table for me, so I will like it as well. And he helped me in that. He helped me to change my way of thinking of how I perceive the world and my identity and who I am and what I must do or not do. So, yeah, it is getting easier to hear his voice, but it's more challenging, as I say. Last week, Tuesday, I went to Den Haag to go and pray at the parliament. Oh, I love that. It is so cool that we can go in. Yes, you're searched a little, but it's fine. I pass that normally. And then and then we can pray. And there's a group of people that I pray with. And what God shares with us, specific stuff to pray in, it is so profound. And that evening when we had intercession of our own church, God gave the same things. So, you know, our God is not confused. He doesn't say to you necessarily a different thing than what he speaks to the church. And that is so cool that we go through seasons. What is his heart? And at the station, there was a baby. I saw a father and a mother and a small baby. And as I passed this baby, I thought, this baby is sick. Something is wrong with the baby. And as I passed it, I said, Lord, you want me to pray for this baby? And he said, yes. And I said, no, I don't think so. And I walked on. I wanted to scan my card already to go through because I was in a hurry. I wanted to go home to get the food ready for the intercession. And just before I scanned my card, God said, yes, I want you to go back and to pray. I said, okay, Lord, if they are still there, of course they are there. And so I asked them in Dutch, may I pray for you? They said, they do not understand me. So I switched to English and they could understand English. Hallelujah. So, and I said, is your child sick? That was just for my own insecurity. Of course he's sick. God told me he's sick. So then she says, kind of. And then I thought, okay, sorry, Lord. So I asked them, may I pray? And they said, yes, I may pray. And later as I left, I thought, as I put my hand on his head, I realized, but he has an enormous head. And it's such a tiny baby. And I realized there was something wrong with his head. I think it's hydrocephalus or that, I don't know what you call it in Dutch. Yeah. But it's your head swells. And I'm still praying every time God reminds me. I'm still praying that he will be healed because God stirred me. And it was now also in the offering. God stirred me to pray for that baby. Why will he stir me? Because he wants that baby to be healed. So he just thought, well, while I'm walking past there, perhaps I will be obedient. And often before, not now lately, but before I will not, I say, oh, no, Lord, what will they think of me? Now I'm not so concerned of what they think of me. When will we see one another in any case again? In heaven, hopefully. So this sermon also was a little part of God's promise to Solomon, and I'm just going to read it. It's 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, and it says, it was the day when Solomon built this majestic temple for God, where the people can meet God and pray and bring sacrifices. And that day he prayed and he said, Lord, please, will your presence always will be here? Will you hear us when we come and we repent? Will you be there? So please give us that promise, Lord, that this is where your presence will be and where people can come to experience your presence. And it was not that God's presence could not be everywhere. It was. But this was a special place. It's like us having church. It's a special place where people could come together. And he said in verse 14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And I feel this is still the message for today, but that those who have a testimony, please come, that we can share the day when you chose to follow Jesus. Because if my people who are called by my name will choose him, to follow him, and then of course you humble yourself because he is the leader, not you. You submit to God. He is the ruler. He is the king. It's not, oh, no, I'm not in the mood or I don't think so. You submit to him and then there is fruit. I want to ask anyone if there's anyone who has a testimony, small or just if you say, yes, I've decided it, but there's no fruit yet, please come and share.
I'll start first, then the others have got enough time to think about it. It's that word obedience. We were going to a weekend, and Renee was going to be baptized that Monday. And we were together, and we were talking to each other, the guys and the ladies were separate, and then we're talking about it, Rene was going to be baptized on Monday, and the guy asked me, he said, "Oh, you're not going to be baptized?" I said, "Not really, what is high on my agenda at the moment," or anything like that. And then he said, "Read Matthew 3:13." Then I read it, and as I read it, I realized, but I've got to be baptized as well. If I want to be obedient, and if I want to do what God wants me to do, I've got to get baptized. And then both of us got baptized at the same time. That was on the 27th of April, 2009. It's a public holiday over here, and it's a public holiday in South Africa. In South Africa, it's called Freedom Day, and over here it's called King's Day. So both of them are applicable as well. And then we were baptized, and then from that date onwards, it was nearly like being obedient, doing what God was asking to do, make that step forward into that type of unknown thing, because I didn't read up that much about baptism. Rene has studied it for, I don't know how much, for what period it was. And then things nearly started opening up. I got scripture for people, which wasn't what I was actually used for. It suddenly I would have a scripture for a person. I said, "Well, okay, I feel the Lord is telling me this scripture," and I would give it to the person. The person says, "But that's exactly what I need." And then you start realizing it, but God wants to work through us, is what I said to in the offering as well. God, if we open up our hearts, then God starts working through us. If you're obedient, then God starts working through us. And then it's not for me, but then it is for the other person. And it started with being obedient, because I wasn't looking for what was in it for me. I wanted to do what God wanted me to do.
Amen. Is there anyone, thank you, Derkan, is there anyone else who want to share when or that you committed to come to follow Jesus? Urbanus. So get your testimonies ready. God told me there's many.
Yeah, in 2017, when I graduated from the university, I got a job to lecture in a university. But it was too hard. I could not get time for the Lord. And then I felt the Lord told me to resign and go for evangelism alone. And I remember it was in July 12th. And then I resigned. And then I decided not to go for evangelism, but to go and find another work. Then I went, found some work. I went looking for a job for 3 months. I could not get it. I fasted and prayed. I fasted for, that's the first time I fasted for 7 days, but nothing happened. And then I heard the Lord telling me I should go for evangelism. Then I asked him, "Whom will I go to evangelism?" Then he told me alone. Then it was kind of weird. And I thought it was my feeling. Then I phoned my pastor, asking him, "Should I go for evangelism alone?" Then he told me, like, "I feel that you should not be concentrating too much on working, but you should first listen to what the Lord is telling you." But I told him, like, "How will people be? What will be people saying about me studying and then becoming a village pastor?" It was weird. But I listened to the Lord. I took my Bible and backpack. Then I would go from home to home telling people about Christ, praying for the sick. There was a kid who had gotten an accident and then the skull was a bit removed, and then the Lord convicted me to pray for the kid, and then she was healed. And I learned that if you obey the will of the Lord, it may be very painful. Obeying is very painful because it doesn't make sense to you at all, like walking around at people's homes and praying for people and preaching the gospel. You have no money. You need money to survive. You can't run to your parents and tell them you need some upkeep. It's weird. But when I obeyed the Lord, I remember on 19th of, I did it for 4 months, constantly. And then on 18th of January, I got like 4 jobs at the same time. Then I was like choosing which one do I go for and which one do I not pick up. So eventually I picked one for a South African company called SMD Technology. There is a t-shirt I usually wear called SMD. It had some good benefits. So we will never understand what the will of the Lord is. And I'm sorry to say this, if we do not walk in his will, God has his own means of making you walk in his will. So after all, you'll have to obey. So after saying I will go to find work, I never found it. But when I obeyed and went and told people about Christ, then in his time, he gave me what I was looking for. So may we obey the Lord, and may we listen to what he is telling us, no matter how painful it is.
Thank you, Erbonis. Landy.
Well, I don't usually share like this, but I felt to share two instances that they connect, and I'll go really quickly as I can. When I joined Shofar, I think I was 21, and I had basically before that, since high school, done a lot of stuff with ministry and also with horse riding. So my dream and my passion and what I was doing at the point where I felt God stir me to do, to go towards Shofar, was that I was aiming to become a professional show jumper. And that's what I was doing 24/7. And also in that time that I was doing that, God was also starting to stir my heart for music, which was new. I'd been doing piano since I was very small, but I'd never really taken it that seriously. And I was sometimes on a Sunday in the worship team with my mother. But yeah, anyways, what happened was that in that year that I started stirring about music, it just started stirring more and more. And a lot of things happened that I stopped horse riding completely. And I started kind of half-time working for the church that I was part of at that point. Actually, me and Mark are both, and my brother, but we didn't have any romance yet. But anyway, so in this time, I think it was about a 6 or 7 month period, there was another ministry that I had friends in that contacted me and said, okay, you can become our music producer for when we do trips. They were like a performing art ministry. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. I really want to do it now and everything like that. And I'd completely stopped horse riding because I felt God calling me into music ministry. So I was like, okay, I've heard God. I'm obedient. I'm going for it. I'm doing all this stuff. And so then I started having conversations with them about it. And I was so excited. And obviously I was like, wow, music producer is a big term, at least in music industry and stuff. So I started planning for it. And then my youth pastor heard about it. He's actually been here once, Anton. Mayberg, and then he heard what the music ministry's name was, and then he said, okay, wait, do you know what this place is? Can we pray about it? And all that kind of stuff. And I was like, no, I've already been obedient. I'm going to just go for it and everything like that. So I kind of didn't listen to him, although he spoke to me twice, and I carried on and everything like that. And then in that time, God also started stirring my heart, and he said no. And I was like, I just remember being like, no, God, but this is what I've been obedient for, like, you know, this is what I'm gonna go for, this is the best thing, you know, I can go all the way up there and I can travel the country and be a music producer and stuff. And God just kept on saying no, and I ignored it for a very long time, until the point where I was lying in bed in my mom's house 2 weeks, I think it was actually 2 days before I was meant to move there, to the place where the ministry was based. And first of all, I hadn't raised enough finances, so I was in faith for that. And there was a few things where the door hadn't opened yet, but I was so sure that I was doing the right thing, at least semi-sure, you know, in my mind, but not in my heart. And so I remember lying on the bed, and I just remember God saying so clearly to me, this is not what I want you to be obedient in. And I remember it was so difficult. I think I was 21 years old, and I had to phone the director of the company or the ministry, and I had to tell them, I'm sorry, I'm not going to come anymore. And it was not nice. It was really difficult. And so in that massive mix of stuff, Anton had mentioned to me that there was a worship internship at Shofar in Stellenbosch, which is where the base of Shofar is. It's a big student church, about 1,500 students. And they have a really cool worship internship. And I didn't think it was cool at that point because this big music producer was like shining at me in a neon sign on that side. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to go do an internship at a church. Like, I'm over it. I'm out of church. I'm going to go for ministry outside of church. And it was just this really massive mess. And I just remember the day that I said to the director of the music ministry, I'm not going to come. The director of the music at Shofar phoned me and he said, listen, I heard from Anton that, you know, you may be struggling with a few things. Like, there's this internship, are you interested in stuff? And I was like, no, not interested. And I'm going to put the phone down. And then the next day he phoned again and he was like, listen, I heard that you said no because I'd spoken to Anton and can we talk about this? And I was like, I'm not interested. I was in a very bad place. But anyways, and then he spoke to me for a long time and I started feeling finally God is saying, this is what you need to do. And I was like, I don't want to go back into church. I don't want to go to this random city that I don't know anything. And anyways, it was crazy. And that same day where I said, okay, I'll think about it to this guy that was the director of Shofar's music ministry, that same day, one of the worship leaders at the church that I was part of phoned and he said, listen, I felt that I need to buy your airplane ticket somewhere. And I was like, no ways. I don't want to go. And because I had no money, I didn't know anyone, literally zilch, like no connections, nothing and everything. And I was like, are you serious? And I told my mom and my mom was like, okay, let's go buy a ticket. And I was like, this is crazy. So we buy a ticket and I phone the one person that I'd met during a youth event and I said, listen, I don't have a place to stay. Do you know anyone? And he was like, yeah, you can sleep on my sister's couch. So I flew the next day with one suitcase to Stellenbosch. I didn't know anyone. I think I pitched up there with tie-dye jeans and a really bright blue sparkly t-shirt. Can you believe it? I've changed a lot since then. But I was so rebellious, and I remember sitting there in the introduction of the day, and I was so angry at God, and I was like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. Like, the only reason I'm doing this is because everything else made me really uncomfortable. So I slept on that couch for, I think, 4 months into the whole internship, and eventually, yeah, I've done this a lot, sleeping at other people's places for months. But anyway, so eventually I found a place to stay and that whole year was a bust. It was terrible. I had a bad attitude. I think like my first impression with everyone was horrible. But anyways, I was obedient. And slowly during that year, God worked out so much of the mess in my heart, which I didn't even want to acknowledge. It was amazing. So I'm almost done. And I can tell you, 8 years later now, that I wouldn't have made the friends that I had made. I wouldn't have learned the things that I'd learned or had the opportunities that I would have had. And I promise you, I did not see it coming. I didn't even think it was possible because I was just totally stuck on what I thought was the right thing to do and what was the godly thing to do and the good thing for ministry and everything for those of us who are strategic and it struggles. But if I hadn't done that and hadn't taken that step, I wouldn't be here. I tell you that with total, complete, 100% surety, I would not have been here. And it was not comfortable and it was not nice. And actually, a lot of that 8 years was a lot worse than it would have been anywhere else because that's where God is shaping you the most, is where he wants you to be. And I promise you, being at the right place at the right time is a real thing because it's at the right place at God's right time. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you so much, Yolandi. Esther, you're still ready? All the others?
Hi, everyone. Always when I feel that God stirs me to share, I have this other feeling that says, no, everyone is going to think, oh, there she is again, or other negative things. I know that this has to do actually with this sharing. You know, before I went to church today, God told me that this was going to be a very special sermon. I didn't know why, but when I saw Renee crying and saying, like, God's going to do something else, I just knew, like, that was it. And I invited a friend that doesn't know God yet, and he didn't come. I felt it so strong on my heart to invite him for like today. And I know that God is in control, and so I'll keep on praying for him, and things are hopefully going to work out well. But what I just want to say is, if it wasn't for God continuously coming after me in my life, I would also have been in that place where I would have not known God. And the thing is, God has every one of you, like he has his eye on you. He created you in the womb of your mother, and he has a plan for your life where you exactly like fit in his kingdom, in his plan, in his creative, perfect thing. And he has made you for a reason, and that is also an enemy. And this is not a very cheerful thing to say and not very popular, but it is very true. And I know that when I look back, I'm now 32, on my life, the enemy has tried to do, as it says in the Bible, he's tried to destroy me, to kill me, to get every good thing out of my life. But he did not make that happen, because God is in control, and because God stirred my heart to get to know him. And I know for very sure like that he puts that in every person's heart. And I know that in this time a lot of things are going on, and a lot of people say that they find peace in thinking there is no God, or saying there's no life after this, or saying I find happiness in yoga and all those things. But when you have an honest conversation with them, you find out that that is not true, and they know it themselves, actually. The great thing is, when I was saying to God at the moment of very strong depression, looking for help, okay, I'm going to give you a chance. And God, I was about 14. Sorry if this is very chaotic. but I was around 14 and I wanted to not live anymore. And I thought to myself, either my life has to turn around completely and I don't know how that is possible, or I'm going to kill myself anytime soon. And then that's when I didn't know God, but I knew that God was there. I don't know how he even knew that. probably because he placed it in me. And then God started to work. And there was a lot of work that needed to be done on me. In those 14, 15 years, the devil had destroyed a lot. The home that I grew up in was not nice. I had very negative heart voices in my head. Demonic activity was going on in the house that I grew up in. I could never sleep peacefully. I could hear demons. There was a lot going on. And I know that some people don't really want to know that, but this is how real it is. And then on the other hand, like, that's also how real God is. Like, he took me out of that place, and he replaced all those negative thoughts and negative feelings to where I can now, like, when I smile, I feel it on the inside. I am so happy. Not because my life is perfect, because it's absolutely not. Not because I don't have struggles or things that I need to work through, but I'm doing this like hand in hand with God. And he also shows me more and more, like he heals me. And every time there's a healing going on, then he shows me what he wants to use me for. And it's just amazing. It gives your life so much purpose, and it gives you so much peace and joy. And like, I always felt this really strong need to prove that I was smart and I could do life, though I was struggling so bad. And at 17, I became a mom. I'm very proud of my boy, Avon. but I was always feeling that I had to show my family that I could study, I could get a diploma, I could have an important job. And God told me he was going to do something else, and it's going to be his way. And I had a really hard time with that. But now that like I'm getting there, it's amazing. I shine the most, I think, when I flag like just in the back. I don't need anyone to see it. I do it for God, and it's just amazing. And I really think I know some of you, and I don't know every one of you. And I don't know who's maybe watching, but God has his eye on you. He loves you. He has a purpose for your life. He can set you free from anything. I can say I don't always know everything, but you can ask God, and he wants to answer you. So, yeah.
Thanks, Esther. Maureen.
Hello, everyone. So I was seated right over there, and I was like, should I go? Should I not go? I'm like, let me just go. So the first thing that came to my mind is seeds. And so ironically, today is Father's Day. And I'm standing here today not because, not because, yay, she knows Jesus or her journey with Christ is amazing, but I'm here because of my mother, because she sowed that seed in me, the seed of Christ. And I just want to read 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. It says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now that he also lives in you. Of both my parents, my mom is the believer and my dad is on the way. And growing up, what really led me to pursue Christ for myself was the battles that we went through spiritually. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because my dad would believe in tradition so casually, and yet my mom's on the other end. He's saying, no, these things open doors for us. These things are not of Christ. And he'd be like, we've been doing it for years. I mean, what's there? Don't you have a roof over your head? Are you not full? Are you not fed? But you could see the effect, especially in my life, my siblings and everything, that sometimes the enemy would just attack. And you do not know why, you know? And you're like, but Lord, we pray. But mom's always praying, but we pray. But what's happening? Because there's a certain door open somewhere. And it's so funny that when God looks at a person, he looks at a generation. And so most seeds that are planted in us were planted years ago, be it a seed of good, be it a seed of bad, be it whatever seed it is. So, I was just reminded today that go back to the roots, go back to the foundation, go back to the foundation. That's what I was reminded today and with today's preaching. And so at age 17, I then was curious about the Holy Spirit, and that's when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, because growing up, I did see the Lord come through. Growing up, I was so spiritually sensitive because of the two different kingdoms that lived in our family. And because of that, I'm really grateful that my struggles led me to Christ. Parents, I just feel like speaking to parents today and to young people that when the word of God says, do not be unequally yoked, they mean something. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, be it in a marriage or in a relationship, because when it comes to the spiritual realm of things, it's so powerful, because one person can believe in this and then the other is believing in that. But who then is affected? The children. So also with parents, plant that seed of Christ in your children, because it will germinate at some point. Even though they don't listen, at some point it will germinate. They will remember the prayers of their mothers. And I'm here today standing on the foundation that my mother laid in me, and I'm grateful for that.
Thanks so much, Maureen. One person can still come quickly. Sissy.
Actually, every time when people stand here, ask if anybody wants to share here, I want it. Today I have the courage come up. I know Jesus since I was 18 because of my teacher. And that time I was very young, so I don't know. And 1.5 year ago, and I come to Holland, and I know Jesus again because of my same teacher, also because my lawyer. And last 1.5 year, I have go through a very tough situation. I think some of the people very close to me, they know it. And I just want to say it very quickly, like never give up on believe the Jesus and believe the God. And try your best to talk to the God every day if you have time. Of course, sometimes I also forgot, you know, especially many things, you know, in my head. I'm so busy sometimes I forgot. And then I tell myself, I say, oh, Father, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't make time to talk to you today. And some of you tell me, ah, Sisi, don't worry, the Father never blame you, you know. So I feel better after I hear that. And yes, I'm very busy, but I have never give it up. And never give it up on belief, God and Jesus. And also not give it up, believe on yourself. And because you know the God, you believe him, and then you have confidence, and you have the directions to go. And I want to share one testimony. And last Friday, it was my big day, but I was so stressful a few days ago. And but at the end on Friday, and the results come after, it was surprise. It was a good result for me, and I think this has come from God. And a few months ago, I remember it was a very sunny day. Suddenly, after my kids and I come out from a swimming pool, and it was having rain again, and you know. Lightning, very scary, and when we cycling, we almost couldn't fly. So I was, yes, you know what I did? I really speak. I share with some of you already, I think, and I speak very loudly. Some car and drive by even. It was so dark. I said, "My heavenly Father, you know, please. Please, you know, help and stop the rain now, right now." I speak very loudly. And my kids, both of them, they believe Jesus. They also they go to the Christian school, but they could not believe the rain really stopped, and the sunshine come out. They think, "Mama, are you crazy?" You know. They said, "Mama, can we?" You know, because they know I'm short of money. You know, "Mama, do you think we should pray? You should have more money?" I said, "No, you don't have to do that." That's really truth. I see it. Some more, you know, testimony. Really, in the past, I was staying in the hostel. Sometimes they say, "Oh, no room anymore because the big reservation's coming." And then I pray, and suddenly the reservation's canceled. So I could stay. Be yourself and talk to God. You know, and nobody's perfect. If you do make mistake. You know, I think the Father always forgive us, but do not hide it. Yeah, so reflect yourself and never give up and talk to God. Make time to talk to him. Yeah.
Thanks, Sisi. Awesome. Blessing. Short. That's the last one.
Hello, everyone. I actually didn't want to come up, but yeah. So I have to be obedient as the Lord is stirring. So the only thing I have to say is very short is that God sees every one of us and he loves us so much. And his plans for us sometimes are not understandable. sometimes they are not easy, sometimes they are scary. But then one thing still since my childhood was there, that God sees you and he knows your struggles. He knows that crying in the night, lonely. He knows that moment where you are doubting every single thing and doubting yourself and doubting where you are and doubting where he has sent you to be. But he sees you and he knows you and he has his plans for you. I can see that in my life, and I know that there will be moments of sadness, moments of being too much busy, there will be struggle, there will be times that you feel like you're not doing enough. But God sees you in every of that, and he knows that you're going to be there, and he knows that you're going to be in that stage. But again, when God is refining you and he's molding you to be what he wants you to be, of course you have to struggle. And when you struggle, then that's a proof that he is with you and he's going to take you somewhere. I've always asked God, I know, I remember when I wanted to come to Utrecht and I didn't actually wanted to come to the Netherlands. And I told God, I want to go to an English-speaking country because I want to make my English better and this. But God sent me here and I was like, God, I think I'm not going to be able to stay here. I cannot do a PhD. I'm not smart enough, because in my family, I was always, let's say, the black sheep. It's funny because I'm black and he's a black sheep. But I was like the black sheep. And it's so funny because I've always thought that I would never be able to do anything. But funny enough, God made me to be the first person in my family to get a master's degree, for example. And I still didn't believe it, because then God made me to be the first person to do a PhD. And then now I still not believe that I'm still there and doing all this stuff. But then when I look the fact that I'm there and I'm able to speak to this person and then I have strong conversation and debate with these people, and then they always end with, I think you're right, but I'm not going to do it. But then I know that God sent me in the same place for a reason. And even though sometimes I struggle, even though I'm so busy all the time, I just know that he sees me and he is ready to use me. That's
amazing. Thanks, Blessing. Okay, Yolandi, you can come up if it's okay. Will you stand? And yeah, close your eyes and I'll lead you in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for who you are, what you do, how you even stir our hearts to follow you, to choose you, to hear your voice. And sometimes we are so rebellious and uptight, Father, but that when we do it, there is fruit, Father. Thank you that you want to use us. Thank you, Lord, that we can come today and humble ourselves on behalf of our ancestors and ourselves and say, we are so sorry. We are so sorry, Lord, where we missed it, where we willfully chose against your will, where we didn't know your will. We are so sorry, Father. And thank you, Lord, that you will help us in our choice to follow you. And in your heart, where you are, with your eyes closed, just give or speak to God what is on your heart right now. I'll give you a half minute. Testimonies was also that your eyes are on each one of us, that you've created us individuals, that you love us as your children. Father, thank you for that. And while your eyes are closed, I ask you, is there anyone today that realize, I don't have a testimony like this. I have not really personally chosen to follow God. Yes, I think it's good ways, but I never publicly chose Jesus. Is there anyone of you like this today? Would you be so kind to put up your hand? Okay. you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you stir our hearts, Father. Thank you that you guide us and help us in every step. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.